Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are clear across the country getting ready for their first of four against the Braves. And our host, Jesse Agler, knows that baseball can be a little different when closer to the Atlantic as opposed to here in the Pacific.
Well, no, there's different atmospheric conditions.
Sure.
That can affect things like ball flight.
That's not exactly what
I'm talking about. Whale migration.
I'm talking about wind swirls.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Plus, we've also got a very not-so-special guest, Randy Jones.
You're a very special guest,
of course. No, I don't want to be a special guest.
You want to be a regular?
Yeah, I'm just a regular.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to undersell you.
No, I like that. I'm very comfortable.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Johnny Cueto did his thing yesterday. The Mountains to the East doing their thing today. And the Padres in Atlanta. We are in the AMR studio.
We are.
Here at Petco Park. Welcome to the show. That's Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Hey, thanks to Ben, Annie, and Mike Grace for taking care of the show over the weekend while I was out of town.
Oh, your seat. I was still over here.
Yeah, no, you were here.
I worked.
How many shows did you do over the weekend?
One.
You did one of the three.
Yes.
Well, you really worked your butt off. Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a really big day around baseball. It's the start of the draft. And, in fact, we are like an hour away from the start of the 2015 amateur draft. The Padres do not have a first-round pick.
Nope.
They do not have
a second-round pick.
Well, no, they do have a second-round
pick.
Well,
they do have it.
They don't have, like, the compensate, whatever it is, the next one. But they do have a second-round pick, number 51 overall, which will take place later tonight. So the Padres have, I would guess in maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, somewhere in there, they'll make the 51st overall selection of this year's amateur draft.
The only reason I'm kind of laughing, you know, I did the draft last year.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there and had a good time. And I was just thinking of, Finley's doing it this year, going to be sitting at the table.
Correct.
And so if he's drafting 51st, he's going to be there a while.
So you're, So you went through that process last year,
yes.
And there's a lot of sitting around and waiting, right?
There's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Yeah. No, okay, so he might be doing some waitings. In a minute, we're going to get you updated on both Brandon Morrow and Will Myers. We'll do that. We've got a roster move to talk about. We've obviously got yesterday's game against the Reds to talk about. Not that it was the most noteworthy game of the season, for the Padres.
Not a lot to talk about.
But we had a Despaigne double, and so that alone to me means we've got to talk about this game a little bit. But let's get to the news of the day first with the injuries. Buddy Black meeting with the media at Turner Field in Atlanta and kind of catching them up on a couple of guys. So this is our AMR injury report, and you want the good news or the bad news first?
I like good news.
All right, we'll start with the good news. Will Myers began his rehab assignment with the El Paso Chihuahuas yesterday, and he went 2-for-5 with a run scored with the Chihuahuas. They were in Las Vegas. A nice start to the rehab assignment for Will Myers. He'll be there again tonight in Vegas. You could definitely maybe see Will Myers later this week in Atlanta.
I think you're going to see him probably later this week, too.
All right, so that's good.
I really, because he's not a patient guy. He don't want to wait till Friday and wait till they get home.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to be in Atlanta. I want to start playing.
So he's out in Vegas. As you said, the Padres will be home this weekend for the Dodgers. By the way, I'm very excited for that.
Yes.
But you're suggesting maybe Atlanta before that. I agree. I think it's a real possibility, assuming physically things go well.
Well, if everything goes well and he's ready, I think Will wants to get his feet wet and not just wait till you get to Friday and a sellout crowd and against L.A. He'd probably like to get a little more acclimated, please play one game in Atlanta, even the day game Thursday, and then come on home with the guys.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. So Will Myers, a nice start to the rehab assignment with the El Paso Chihuahuas. How about Blooper having video of the rehab assignment? That caught me by surprise.
That's impressive.
You've got an El Paso Las Vegas highlight.
From Las Vegas, which is not easy to find.
Right, wow. No, it would have been easier maybe if it were home at El Paso. You know the people there. Show that highlight again. You got Will Myers in his red Chihuahuas jersey.
Got here early and did some research.
My God. This was a huge upset, the Blooper having this video. Note here, by the way, he's wearing his Padre helmet, his blue Padre helmet, because that happens a lot for these guys with the major leaguers when they're on the rehab assignments. They don't want to wear that minor league double ear flapped helmet, so they bring their helmets with them. But, Will Myers wearing number 16 for the Chihuahuas.
I like it.
Nice job, Blooper. All right, so that's the good news. The bad news involves Brandon Morrow. As certainly you've heard by now, he left his rehab start yesterday with double A San Antonio. 2 2/3 innings, 49 pitches. That was not the plan. The plan was to have him stretched out a little
bit
more.
About 80 pitches.
It re-aggravated that shoulder. And it sounds like today it's the same injury. It's the same issue. He's come back to San Diego. They're checking him out. The reports that there's an MRI being taken. So the idea 24 hours ago was you might see Brandon Morrow starting, you know, Friday night against the Dodgers. That's probably a bit unlikely
now.
I
would say no.
Yeah.
If you're getting an MRI on Monday, I don't think you're getting the ball on Friday.
So a really tough break for Brandon
That's
Morrow.
That's not good.
He had done everything right. You know, he'd gone through the process. He had been patient with it. There's been a few weeks now. You know, he made the first rehab start. Everything went great. Now they said, all right, let's stretch him out a little bit. You know, have him throw a few more pitches, a couple more innings.
It's going to be interesting what the MRI says. And, you know, yeah. It's going to tell you now if there's something in there, some impingement where they need to go in and fix it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
So that's it. So we wait for more on Brandon Morrow, but certainly that's got to be discouraging for him. And that means right now, if you can count to five, you can figure out probably Despaigne in the series opener
against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know. And also just a note, I don't know if we got a chance to talk about it, but I thought it was really cool when Joe Ross made his major league debut as a starting pitcher for the Nationals, you know, and Tyson got to fly over and watch his younger brother make that start and come back.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Very cool.
That was really cool stuff in Major League Baseball.
Saturday in Washington. All right, we'll talk about that. First, though, let's put a bow on the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. Yeah, that was very cool. Tyson Ross going to Buddy Black before the game on Friday, saying, "Hey, once I take care of business, you know, tonight against the Reds," and he did. What do you think about me, you know, flying out in the morning? And he did just that, and he got to see Joe Ross, who had a very nice big league debut for the Nats.
I thought that was really cool. I mean, I did that one time. I went to my wife really wanted to go to the old high school reunion, and so basically I went to Roger Craig was our manager in '78, and I was kind of same kind of thing. I was pitching Friday night. Go, hey, if I win tonight, I'll go nine. Can I have tomorrow night off to take my wife up to Orange County? And he goes, if you win, go nine, I'll let you go. So I went out, went nine, won. I get to go.
I like that. Hey, that's the good thing about being a starting pitcher, right? You know, position player, I don't know you can get away with that.
You can't do that.
Yeah,
you know, but as a starting pitcher,
maybe a catcher. If it's like a day game after a night game situation, you might be able to.
Yeah, I had to word it that way, you know.
I like
and
that.
Believe me, if I'd have lost, he wouldn't let me go either.
That's funny. That's a really good story. That's a really good story. All right, quickly, Melvin Upton Jr. is officially on the big league roster. He is not in the starting lineup. We'll talk more about that. Corresponding roster move, Abraham Almonte, option to AAA El Paso. But let's talk about the draft for a moment. As we said, it gets underway at about 4 o'clock Pacific time in New York. The Padres' first selection will be number 51 overall. Before we talk about the 2015 draft, Randy, your memories of being drafted by the San Diego Padres, what that day was like for you?
Well, it was great. I mean, I was excited about it, obviously. I was still at Chapman University and went out and actually played golf that day. And I'd been talking to the Detroit Tigers, and they were kind of mumbling about the sixth round they might take me, and thought, well, we'll find out when we get done with a round of golf. And by the time I got back to the apartment, and I got a phone call from, you know, San Diego Padres. And Cliff Ditto and Marty Keogh were the two gentlemen. They called me and said, you know, congratulations, the Padres took you in the fifth round. And I said, wow. I said, you know, great. But I had never talked to anybody in the Padre organization at that point in time. I didn't even know they were looking at me or anything.
It's amazing how many times you hear that version of a story.
Yeah.
They're like, it was a team that you had no communication with whatsoever.
None.
And it just worked out.
You know, I was excited about that. I mean, the opportunities with the Padres in 1973 versus the Detroit Tigers, you know, I thought, well, it's even, you know, hey, it's still a young, up-and-coming franchise, so I might have more opportunities, and I was absolutely correct.
That is very, very cool. All right, so one of the big storylines this year for the draft is the guy that was taken number one overall last year, Brady Aiken.
Right.
He didn't sign with the Astros, and he goes under the knife, Tommy John surgery. You know, they couldn't agree on money. The Astros were worried about his elbow. What do you know? He goes to pitch, and he ends up having the Tommy John surgery. And I mean, you read the different articles about Brady Aiken, and they're suggesting this guy, a local guy, for us, could go anywhere between number 10 and number 60, which obviously is a huge range. That's sort of like what the experts think. So the Padres fall into that at number 51. And so this was a guy that we talked about endlessly at this time last year from a distance. And now all of a sudden he's sort of in the conversation, I guess, for the Padres. And I have no idea if A.J. Preller and Mark Connor, who's running this draft for the Padres, and Logan White and Don Welke and Josh Stein, everybody up there, I don't know what they think of Brady Aiken and his elbow. But, like, if he's there at number 51 – for the Padres, that's an interesting conversation that I'm sure has been had.
It's kind of interesting. I wonder how they do it. I mean, in my own mind, I would think they do a mock draft, and you have the number one guy, okay, and you're going to list the top 51 prospects, I would think.
Right.
And that just means that you're going down the list, you're crossing guys off as they get drafted, and I would think the highest one on that top 51, if he's still available, that would be your first pick.
That would be who you take.
I would think.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a really organized, common sense
way
to approach it.
There's a lot of common sense in that, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what scares me.
All right, so I want to know what people... I don't know what people think about this. The hashtag on Twitter is PadresSH. Brady Aiken at 51. Do you roll the dice? That's the second-round pick. You say second round, by the way. Recent second-round picks and some not-so-recent distant or more distant second-round picks for the Padres over time. Austin Hedges, Jed Jerko, Chase Headley, Nick Hundley, Xavier Nady. Those are some of the more big name second round picks in Padre history. Mm-hmm. So look, there are guys to be had in the second round. Don't be discouraged by the fact that they're not picking until number 51, particularly this year. If you read up on this year's MLB draft, this is not a sexy draft. There's not a consensus number one overall. There's not a consensus 1, 2, 3.
But there's a pretty good crop of talent.
That's
out
it.
There, the talent pool is bigger.
That's it.
So, which is good. That's
deeper.
Positive. Yes.
It's
the word.
It's less flashy, more deep this year's draft. So maybe if there was ever going to be a year to not have a pick in the top, 45 or 50, I guess, as the case may be here, this might be the year, to have that be the case. We talked to Ben Badler of Baseball America a few weeks ago, and I think he said something to the effect of, this year's draft, there may be no difference between number 12 and number 60. As far as the consensus goes.
Yes.
People are looking at these guys and, yeah, sure, he could go top 15 or top 70. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting names.
There's a lot of San Diego talent going to be in this draft as well.
Oh, there's no doubt.
There's a lot of talented people.
Every year. Every single year.
And
it's a lot of fun.
Be.
It's a lot of fun watching the local guys get picked. All right, so we'll be following it over the next couple of days. Padres will be picking later tonight at number 51. Their selection, hopefully, will be able to join us on the show at some point tomorrow, whoever it is.
Hey, awesome.
That'll be a lot of fun. So something to kick around and something to get excited about and pay a little bit of attention to over the next couple of days. When we come back, we'll certainly start getting to your Twitter questions and comments. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to join the conversation there. Becky is chatting with the fans online. You can also watch and listen to the show. When we return, we'll talk more about yesterday's loss to the Reds, also about this roster move and how Melvin Upton Jr. fits in now for the Padres. That's a question that I don't necessarily have an answer to, but it's an interesting conversation to have. During the next trip to Petco Park, checked out a seat at the rail presented by Montalvo Tequila. This bar rail seating area is in the Western Metal Building and features in-seat waiter service and great views of the field. Buy tickets to sit at the rail at Padres.com. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the roster move, get to your questions and your comments. It's Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. MLB Draft 2015, the 50th anniversary draft, they tell us. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Padres will pick first in the second round at number 51 overall. I realize I said that a few times, and people might be asking themselves why. Why not until number 51? Most people may know, but it might be worth discussing it. So their first pick, which would have been number 13 overall, goes to Kansas City because they signed James Shields as a free agent. So that's the compensation or whatever that goes back. And then the competitive balance round A, the old sandwich picks, I guess is what they used to call it, right? That is number 41 overall. The Braves have that. As part of the Craig Kimbrell trade.
Right.
So that's why the Padres are not picking until number 51. Had they not signed James Shields, they would be picking at number 13. Had they not traded their next pick to the Braves for Kimbrell, they'd be picking at 41 and 51, of course. But instead, it will just be 51 today.
There you go.
Second round. So now you know everything. Another thing to know is that the Padres made the roster move they mentioned yesterday official. Recall Melvin Upton Jr., or they activate him, I guess, from the disabled list. He had been on a rehab assignment with the El Paso Chihuahuas for the last few weeks. He did his thing down there. That was sort of his spring training. He is here, meaning Atlanta. He is on the big league roster, and Abraham Almonte optioned back to AAA. So I think the question right off the bat that everybody jumped to is, will Melvin Upton Jr. be in the starting lineup in his first game? And the answer is no.
No.
He is not. Let's take a look at the Padres starting lineup for the series opener in Atlanta. First of four between the Padres and the Braves. It's brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly sky. So Will Venable will start in center field. That's probably where Melvin Upton Jr. would be if he were there in center. Norris, Upton, other Upton, Kemp, Alonso, Middlebrook, Spangenberg, Barmis, and Ian Kennedy against Shelby Miller, who's been outstanding for the most part this season. So Melvin Upton Jr. off the bench. That makes sense, right? I'm sure somebody out there is bent out of shape about it. Well, like, let him get settled for a day.
Yeah, let him get settled a little bit. And remember, this guy really hasn't spent a lot of time with his roster, with anybody here. I mean, we got to get him the trade, and he was on the DL. He went straight over to, you know, extend his spring training, and that's where he's been. So, I mean, let him get acclimated a little bit. Let everybody introduce themselves.
Yeah.
Which they probably already have done. I remember that Melvin was at the Arizona series when they were over in Arizona.
Yeah.
So he's got an opportunity to be around the clubhouse a little bit, which that really does help.
That's a good point. You know, when they were in Phoenix during that long road trip, San Francisco, Phoenix, and Seattle, because he was in Peoria with the team at that point.
That's right.
He was able to hop over from there to go to the games, and he was in the clubhouse hanging around the guys. That has to help with that whole process.
It certainly does. Yeah. It makes it a little bit more familiar when he walks in today.
All right, so Melvin Upton Jr. is on the roster, but he is not in the starting lineup. But obviously he is available to Buddy Black, maybe a pinch-running situation, a defensive situation. Who knows?
I think it's just funny that, you know, Melvin Upton, he gets called up in Atlanta. I thought that was just kind of a coincidence.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, it works out nicely, his old team. All kinds of excitement from the Atlanta media getting their hands today on both of the Uptons and on Craig Kimbrell. That's obviously a really big deal there. That's a really big deal there. All right, so he's not in the starting lineup. And the question will now become, how is he used? And when Will Myers hopefully comes back later this week, what?
So yeah, I think we see Melvin the next couple of days. You know, Buddy is notorious. He doesn't like to leave guys sitting around the bench, like, get their feet wet. I think he'll try to get him in the lineup the next couple of games. You know, I mean, if he pinch hits tonight or anything like that in that scenario off the bench, but he's going to get him a start here before they get home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, a lot of questions coming in from people about Melvin Upton Jr., how he fits in with Will Myers, this and that. So let's try and knock out some of these questions
and
give the best answers we can. And, of course, you know, we don't have all of the answers. We're spitballing a little bit here. But, you know, we've got our opinions, and they're somewhat educated.
That's what they are, and, you know, I can say I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely allowed to do that. So let's start with Andy Warren. And he wants to know if there's any chance we see either Will Myers or Melvin Upton play some infield in the coming weeks, maybe one of them at second and Spangenberg move to shortstop. I would say not at second because they don't want Spangenberg at shortstop, I don't believe.
I don't think so.
Will Myers, shortstop, no, I don't think so. Now, Melvin Upton, a million years ago as he came up, he was a shortstop. But it's been a long time, you know, since he's played there.
And my question, I haven't seen where he's been playing in his rehab assignment.
Outfield, I think.
He's been playing in the outfield.
Yeah, he's been playing the outfield.
And I'm assuming that's where you might see him. I might guess it'll be center field here the next couple of days.
Yeah.
If you've been playing the outfield, that might be the logical place to put him.
All right, so for the next day or two, it'll be either here Will Venable, you know, starting in center field.
Yeah, and when you get Myers back.
And that's when it becomes an interesting conversation.
Yes, it will. I mean, one thing, I know Myers can play first base. He likes first base. He's comfortable, has confidence at first base.
I'm not taking Yonder out of the lineup right now, though.
No, I'm not. No. But, I mean, if you got a nasty left hand or something like
that.
There you go. You want to give him a day.
Okay.
You know, but I just don't know what you do to. I mean, the only logical spot, you know, look at the lineup, is center field for Myers.
Yeah.
You know, go back to something you had earlier where the production was pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you got to have Myers in the lineup, you know, most days, I would think. Right now, you would certainly say that about Yonder Alonso as well. And that means, you know, whatever combination of Melvin and Venable will be the other guys, you know, the sort of work them in guys. Now, look, these things can change. If Melvin Upton Jr. gets red hot and you got to leave him in there, then you got to get creative and figure it out. That's it. And that's the option that Buddy Black has is, you know, he sort of knows, all right, you know, it's probably Myers and Alonzo. And then if somebody gets hot, you go with them. But, you know, he's got that flexibility. He was on with Chris Russo on High Heat today on MLB Network. And Buddy, you know, maybe alluded to a little bit of a platoon situation. And maybe he meant with Myers and Alonzo at first base, as you sort of mentioned, you know, lefty righty kind of thing. You know, if you don't like Yonder against a particular left-handed pitcher, you can use Myers at first base
day. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but there are a lot of possibilities. A lot of possibilities for Buddy Black. He can do a lot of different things.
Good.
And that's not a bad situation.
Yeah, and also you got more guys coming off the bench that have some ability, which does not hurt you in the total game plan late in the game.
No,
one of these guys might pick up the slack.
Yeah, no, you certainly like being able to pull one of those guys off the bench. All right, Andrew has a tweet sort of along similar lines. He says, "Who gets sent down when Myers returns?" Mm. Let me nip this one in the bud. I think we have learned this year. Like, we got to stop trying to be several days ahead of these things. Because every time we think we know the answer to one of these questions, something else happens.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to try and make this decision in our heads before the Padres actually have to make the decision. Because, you know, the other day, right, we're talking about, well, what happens when Morrow comes back with Despaigne and with Kennedy? And, hey, guess what? Morrow probably not going to be back now as soon as we all thought. When these things happen, then, you know, like, let's talk about it. And granted, we do feel pretty good about Myers being back in the next couple of days. But, like, let's give it a couple of – let's see. You know, I don't think we have to answer that question.
Yeah, that's where I go. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. I haven't got the answer to that. I mean, it's just somebody got a nagging injury that needs a 15 days on the DL to maybe overcome something. That's a possibility. But, you know, like we don't even know about it. You know, guys playing with something that can give them a few days, you know, rest. So what you do, you prolong it for another 2 weeks. But you know, other than that, I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's a tough decision.
It is. And they'll have that decision to make and they'll figure it out. But, I mean, look, you kind of check on the whole situation. You know, you look at who's performing, who's not, who's maybe dinged up, who's not.
I will say this, it will be interesting.
It will be interesting.
I'll say that.
And there are plenty of guys we know it won't be.
That's right.
But, you know, we'll see. You know, I mean, again, something could happen crazy in the next couple of days, and it becomes all of a sudden a lot more clear.
What we shouldn't do is go off and start a bunch of hypotheticals.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
Okay, you don't want to go there, so we don't have to. Let's take a break, come back. I've got to talk about this All-Star voting update in the American League.
Okay.
Also, a little bit about yesterday's game. Despaigne double. That's all I've got to say. That alone makes yesterday's game worth discussing, despite the fact that it was really one of the most ho-hum, you know, losses of the season for the Padres, a 4-0 shutout. Cueto was good, and, you know, there's not too much more to say.
A great double by Despaigne, then we go 0-for-3 with a runner in scoring position.
Yeah.
That's not good,
Jesse. Don't like that.
I don't like that.
No, you don't. All right, so we'll do that when we come back, plus more of your questions and your comments using the hashtag PadresSH. Guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game here at Petco Park by becoming a Padres season ticket member at the gold or platinum level, and then lock in your chance to get tickets. To learn more, visit Padres.com/ASG, Padres.com/ASG. We'll take a break, come back, talk more about all of this. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the show. First of four between Padres and the Braves in Atlanta. Coming up at 4:10. That's what time the first pitch is at Turner Field. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler here in the AMR studio. Yesterday, the Padres dropped a 4-0 decision to the Cincinnati Reds, but they won another series, and that sort of needs to be the mantra, right? I mean,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one question was, hey, you got Johnny Cueto on the mound. The one ace, you know, really I think the Reds have, and he went out and he stepped it up. He brought his A game, you know, with
seven shutout innings, four hits, nine strikeouts.
He's good. He changed speeds, good command, and you got to give the guy credit.
Yeah,
he did a good job.
He's fun to watch pitch,
and it's interesting too. He's a lot of people speculating that You know, by the trading deadline, he might be with a contending team.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows whatever that might be.
Yeah, the Reds have all kinds of issues. I think at this point nobody would be surprised if they made a managerial change. Certainly if they moved some pieces. They're an interesting team because you kind of look up and down the roster, and if you're playing fantasy baseball, you're like, well, I'd take that guy.
Exactly.
There's a few of those dudes, including him.
The one you don't see, like you see in the pitching staff. And
yeah, the bullpen especially.
You might see a couple of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Chapman, Cueto, yeah, for sure.
That's it. That's
you know,
it.
You know.
Poor Jumbo got sent down after his – I just like saying Jumbo.
Like
but, yeah, Jumbo Diaz gets sent down after his tough weekend. But, look, man, the Padres provided some real excitement in Cincinnati on Friday and especially on Saturday. So, yesterday, look, Cueto was Cueto. You know, a couple of home runs from Jay Bruce. It had been a while for him against Despaigne. The first one was
– That wasn't cheap.
No, you can make fun of Great American Ballpark in the way the thing flies out of there. But this is hit about as far.
That ball was going to go on anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, that leaves anywhere, anytime, anyhow. The second one was a little bit cheesy, but, you know, it happens. But, you know, Despaigne is good enough. You know,
it's all right.
Look, they didn't get him any run support. He gave up a couple of home runs, but a fine start. Is that a good way to put it? A fine start?
I would say that.
Okay. So that's sort of how we'll talk about Despaigne. Hey, Kemp doubled yesterday, obviously building on the great game on Saturday for him. How excited am I allowed to be about Matt Kemp right now?
I can say you could get very optimistic.
Okay.
How's that?
I like that.
From the swing of bat better, you've seen him taking some certain pitches to left field. Not everything going to right. I know the home run did, which is fine. They're going to pitch you away. Go ahead and let the ball travel a little bit deeper into the zone and, you know, jump on it. He did a great job of that. You know, but also I'm seeing other pitches that he's able to handle and you know, take down the left field line, which I really like that. We have seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I really do like seeing that.
Yeah, so it's definitely starting to feel like, okay. And look, if he starts to get going, things are going to go really well,
ooh,
you know, for the Padres.
I agree.
He's capable of doing that, and especially with the rest of the talent.
Well, he gets hot, changed the dynamics of the whole lineup. Now
yeah.
You can't pitch around him, which they were kind of doing. You know, now you got a pitch to Upton. He's going to see a few better pitches, so it's all good.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And another hat tip to Yonder Alonso for his weekend.
Oh,
he's been outstanding.
He's been great.
Since coming off the disabled list at the plate and over at first base, too.
Oh.
And as we have all of these conversations that everybody wants to have, and I know I understand why, but all these conversations about, hey, you can move this guy to third, this guy to first, this guy to center, you know, as you're trying to fit everything in. Like, for me, especially right now, the way he's swinging the bat, I want Yonder at first base.
Yeah.
I really do.
Now, be careful to start moving all these pieces around. I mean, we've had to do that in the past couple of years, and you know, I like a little consistency, like in the lineup, what we're seeing here in this road trip.
We are seeing
a little
that.
More consistency, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, no, that's a nice thing to see, and it's nice for Buddy Black to be able to
that
have consistency. You know, it's funny because when the lineup is always being shuffled around, you know, people go crazy at the manager, right? What's he doing? As if like he wants to do that.
Oof.
You know, if everybody is performing, you know, kind of the way he wants, he doesn't have to do that. And now that's been the case these last few games.
Well, you keep winning series. It's not, you know, yeah, you won't love a sweep, but you continue to win series. You know, you can't argue with that.
No.
If they win 3 out of 4 in Atlanta, I'd be one happy camper them coming home.
That would be outstanding.
That is correct.
That would be outstanding. That would be what, like a 5-2 road trip?
Yeah.
Yeah, that you'll take that.
You betcha. And, you know, like, and you get big task. Shelby Miller is throwing the baseball awfully well. So
he starts tonight.
He starts tonight.
Rough start his last time out.
Yeah, I walked 6 or whatever, however, where that came from.
But, but aside from that, he's been one of the top pitchers in the National League this
year. Yes, he has. Yeah. He's got the third best ERA right now.
There you go. So that's what the Padres are contending with. They will throw Ian Kennedy out there. We've got a good Ian Kennedy question that came in. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to put one last final thought into last night's or yesterday's game. Sean Kelly. Nice to see, you know, another couple of nice innings out of the bullpen. You know, things did not get off the way we thought they would in the bullpen for the Padres this year. But 3 strikeouts and 2 scoreless innings of relief yesterday. You sort of have 7, 8, 9 locked down now.
Yep.
In those save situations, those hold situations, you're going to see Maurer in the 7th. You're going to see Benoit in the 8th. You're going to see Kimbrel in the 9th. Things are definitely ticking up for the Padre bullpen as a whole.
Oh, you bet. Everybody. Dale Thayer and, like you say, Kelly, the way they're throwing the baseball and watching him hitting his spots. That slider is 100% better than it was the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And that's really good to see.
Absolutely. All right, so we've got some questions here. We've got an Ian Kennedy question on Twitter, and we've got a couple of shuffleboard questions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling the moving pieces stuff, shuffleboard. They want to play shuffleboard with the defense. Where do you want to go? I'll let you choose for the moment.
I'll go with Ian Kennedy.
All right, so we've got Andy. He wants to talk about Ian Kennedy. Now, last time out against the Mets, good stuff.
Yes.
Thumbs up from Ian Kennedy. But it's been up and down for him, you know, so far this year. It's sort of been the one good one, the one bad one, whatever. So Andy wants to know, RJ, have you seen anything in his delivery that would explain the lack of consistency in both control and velo?
Well,
that's what we call velocity.
In my opinion, and not to get too high tech, but
yeah.
I just didn't really think he was finishing pitches over that front leg real well, you know, especially the breaking ball. To create that consistency, I thought he was just a tick behind and, you know, kind of leading with his front foot instead of getting his weight over his front foot. And I really thought he did a better job last time, you know, getting everything out there together to create more consistency. And that's just my when I watch his fundamentals.
Okay.
But what I like is when he started doing that, he's able to duplicate it, be consistent with it, you know, which gave him better control and better movement on the curveball, everything that you saw. And hopefully he gets to do that again. It's all about being consistent, and that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Now, you know, what you did last time out, in between starts, you worked on it again. Show it to me again tonight.
All right.
Okay, that's my concern.
It would be great to see Ian have another nice start
tonight.
Because that would be two in a row, and that sort of hasn't been the pattern for him. It's, as we said, kind of been one-on, one-off for Kennedy this season. So a second straight good one here tonight against the Braves would set the table, you know, moving forward as the Padres as a team, you know, try and get going here. And they have been these last, you know, week, 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever you want to say. But obviously for the team to get going, Kemp needs to get going. The pitching needs to get going. The rotation, the relievers. And so you're starting to maybe see
you've
that.
Got a lot of pieces that need to get going if you're going to win 10 out of 12.
That's
or,
it.
You know, something like that, which you want to see.
All right, nicely said. All right, let's do some shuffleboard. Ozzy and Jake, two different people with very similar ideas as far as playing shuffleboard is concerned. He says, what about Middlebrooks at shortstop? Then Myers could go to third. He seems to be Mr. Do-It-All. That was Ozzy. Jake says, hey, Middlebrooks, we've seen some shortstop. Maybe Myers at third, Melvin in center. So there you go. Those are the two ideas being kicked around.
Have we seen Myers at third?
We have not. I think batting practice at times he's been over there.
I haven't seen him over there enough.
Ozzy is saying, hey, he seems to be Mr. Do-It-All.
Well, if you're on the mound, Ozzy, do you want to start shaking up your defense? I mean, as a former pitcher, I really like Middlebrooks at third. I don't fix something that ain't broke. I leave him there.
Okay.
I mean, I want him right there.
We have seen a little bit of Middlebrooks at shortstop, and so far it's fine.
All right, then who's going to play third?
Well, that's what he's saying.
Arte,
he wants Myers at third. I think what he's trying to
come on now.
Here's what he's trying to do.
He's trying to get more offense into the lineup.
He's trying to, well, not necessarily, because I think he wants Alonzo, okay, for offense and defense. He wants Myers for offense, and he wants Melvin for defense. Well, when we talk about Melvin Upton Jr., he is a defensive guy first. Like, this is a guy that barely hit over 200 last year. He hit under 200 the year before. You know, if things are going well for Melvin Upton, it's going to be a lot about the defense. So it's not just an offensive thing. It's helping.
The defense is really good. But I tell you what, when you got guys hitting the ball like Venable, guys like Myers, instead of cramming guys into locations maybe they're not comfortable, mm-hmm. You know, Melvin Upton, you know, for defensive purposes, that's late in the game. If he didn't start swinging the bat, he's not going to be in the lineup.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't really think it didn't matter about salary, what you're getting paid.
No, I agree.
It's all about performance on the field.
That's it. But he's going to have an opportunity to perform
on
the field.
You're going to give him every opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going to have to happen. He's not going to hit 204 and play center field because he can run down fly balls.
All right.
So can Will Venable, and he's hitting 275.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, if that ends up being the decision that's made there. But I get what Ozzy and Jake and a lot of other people are trying
to do.
But,
every day I got to start the mound. I'm looking over and seeing Myers at third. I'm not nearly as comfortable if I look over there and see Middlebrooks at third.
That's fair.
Being the starting pitcher.
No, totally fair.
Sorry.
And understandable. I think maybe part of the counter, though, would be looking out into center field. Would you rather see Myers or Upton or Venable? You know, you might feel more comfortable with Upton or Venable up there.
Well, you got to remember, I pitched to the 70s, so none of them scare me.
All right, you're not
like
worried
all
about
of
anything. All right, fair enough. Randy's not worried
Sorry.
About anybody.
I'm not worried.
All right, you've got it all under control. When we come back, the AL All-Star ballot update was released today. The National League update will be tomorrow. I hope everybody has been voting Norris and voting Upton, Justin. But the American League released this today, and it's quite interesting. Quite interesting, the American League ballot updates from earlier today. You can keep hitting us on Twitter as well. The hashtag is PadresSH. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. American League All-Star voting update. It's quite royal. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We'll get a National
Can
League
you
All-Star.
You call AMR and
yeah.
I think we... Blooper has a bad knee now.
Yeah, he's
banged it.
He banged it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Hey, we gotta talk about this, right? Tomorrow we'll find out the latest voting update for the National League All-Stars. Been a long time since the Padres have had a player voted in to start the All-Star
game.
That's
right.
Been way too long. There are some deserving guys this year, Norris in particular. So I hope everybody's been voting. You can go to Padres.com/vote. Now, the asterisk that goes with this conversation, of course, is that it is a fan vote. And so, really, it's up to the fans. And if there is a fan base that decides to get particularly into this, They can make some.
Well, that's what it. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Right. So, case in point, the Kansas City Royals. Now, there's a long way to go with these votings, with the voting. Right now, of the 9 positions for the American League, 7 are Kansas City Royals. So 7 of the 9 leading vote getters.
And what does that tell you?
It tells me that people in Kansas City have too much time on their hands. But they're very
voting.
Organized.
They're voting.
They're energized, and they are voting. So Salvador Perez at catcher, Eric Hosmer at first, Moustakas at third, Escobar at short, Gordon and Kane in the outfield, and Kendrys Morales as DH. Omar Infante and Alex Rios, the only two Royals not leading in the vote getting, and they're second in their two categories. So Kansas City is going crazy with this.
Wow. I haven't looked at attendances and things. Are they drawing more people than anybody else in the American League?
Their draw is way up. They're having great attendance. But remember, it's all electronic now.
I understand, but still, they got to be fanatical about the Kansas City Royals.
And they are. Look, they won the pennant last year.
Yeah.
They were within a couple of outs maybe of winning the World Series.
They played a great World Series, there's no doubt. But,
so,
I mean, 7?
7 of 9. So they're taking this thing
very,
very seriously. So here is, I guess, my question to you. Are you okay with this system that a fan base can get particularly energized and go particularly crazy with this voting and essentially stuff the ballot boxes? This has been happening for 40 years, by the way. Let's not act like it's a 2015 Kids Today thing. This has been happening since they opened up voting in the 70s. Are you okay with it?
Well,
are you going to be okay if on July whatever in Cincinnati they're introducing the starters for the American League and it's from the Kansas City Royals, from the Kansas City Royals, from the Kansas City Royals? Are you going to be okay with that, or is that going to annoy you?
That's going to annoy me.
Okay.
You know, and that means the best 8 guys aren't out there. I'm not going to go 9 because that's the pitchers and that's up to the manager. But that would annoy me. I mean, I'm all for fan voting, having a say in who starts.
Ah.
But I don't think it should be the final say.
So I was going to ask, if a new system were to be implemented, what would you want it to be? Because you still want the fans involved.
Well, I mean,
like
I want Bruce Bochy to have a say a little bit as the manager of the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody knows players better than that manager, you know, from all around the league. You know, and I think part of it's built on past reputation, mm-hmm. and then I think a manager is more in part to, you know, actually see the first half of the year and who's played well and who is deserves to be there.
Yes.
And I think you get a more logical starting lineup then than all fan vote.
Okay.
Just because of what we have right now, 7 Kansas City Royals and the ballot's been stuffed.
All right. So you're not.
Doesn't mean
that.
They're all having the best year at their position.
Sure.
That just means that, you know, the fans went crazy and voted, what, was it 35 times?
Yeah.
35 times for everybody.
Per email address.
Man.
And it doesn't even, I probably shouldn't say this, but everybody knows by now, it doesn't have to be a real email address. You could do like abc@123.com, and vote 35 times. And then you just do all sorts of things like that.
Sure, they're not going to check, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not. It's a real low-tech operation, Major League Baseball Advanced Media sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Good. That means if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's it. No, so it makes it pretty easy. The point being, it makes it pretty easy to do this. You don't have to register for anything. And I get it. They want people clicking their website because that's how they make money. But is that really the way we should be determining the way the All-Stars are selected, the starters?
No, I don't agree. I mean, they should have some influence on it, but I think the final say should be your starting, your manager of the All-Star team.
Maybe even, some of the other players around the league, they could vote. I don't know. I'd be curious what the fans think.
Yeah, I mean, to vote for the other players, that's not a bad call.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, some of the sports, they have it sort of percentage-wise. Like, 33% is the fans, 33% the coaches, 33% the players. I don't know. I'm not suggesting I have the answer to this thing, but I'm curious what fans think, because this really is for the fans.
Yeah.
Well, so, as a fan,
and also,
are you okay with this?
And like, the manager just gets picked the other guy, some of the other guys, the bench guys and that type of thing.
Right. So, they're going to get in.
And I know other managers will call Bruce Bochy and campaign for maybe a couple of his guys or whatever it might be, and that's just part of the game.
Yeah.
I get it. I like that.
Yeah. All right, so again, now look, Derek Norris is going to be an All-Star. That's a great point you make. Derek Norris is going to be on the All-Star team if Bruce Bochy has any idea what he's doing. He's leading National League catchers
in all of these
categories. But is he going to start? Maybe
former,
not.
I don't think he's going to start right now, but,
But the point is that there's no risk.
The National League and Mike Buster Posey probably – going to be leading in a balloting, I would assume.
We'll find out tomorrow.
He's having a good first half
as
well.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right. Do you know an all-star mom? Do you know an all-star mom?
No.
Your mom, I'm sure, is an all-star, right?
Yeah, my mom's
absolutely
an all-star mom.
Well, here you go. Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 MLB All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mom so special.
Cool.
That's pretty good,
like
right? Allstarmom.com. Take a break. Come back. More Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Talking about the All-Star voting and the selection process. And again, the caveat here is that we're just talking about the starters. They can make up for, fan error, if you want to call it that, when it comes to selecting the reserves. But having a starter is a pretty big deal, and so obviously you want people to be around that. But our buddy Ghost of Ray Kroc, he's always so cheeky. He says, hey, easy solution. Have the BBWAA select the starters. They do such a good job with the Hall of Fame, after all.
Wow, Ghost. Come on.
That's pretty solid.
Who knows what we'll see.
That's pretty solid. All right, I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat now.
Go.
All right, you're on the Cholula hot seat. This is a little bit more of a serious topic. Over the weekend at Fenway, another fan hit by a bat in the crowd. It's happening, I don't want to say more often, but I feel like we're hearing about it more often. Either a bat lost or a broken bat or a ball, a line drive foul ball, whatever it is, hitting people. It has been suggested numerous times, and we've discussed it on the show the last couple of years. Is it time we put a netting, kind of like you have behind the plate, down the line?
That's your only alternative, Jesse. Yeah. So, I don't know how far down the line we're talking.
At least over the dugouts,
At least over the dugouts. And I think it's inevitable when you get people in serious condition from a piece of bat flying into the stands.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd be okay with the netting there down the lines a little bit?
That's your only solution. Yeah. I mean, you'll get rid of April, go back to Ash. There's obviously a reason they haven't. The availability, whatever it might be. You're not going to aluminum bats because then you're going to get players killed. Don't worry about the fans. Somebody's going to die on the field.
Yeah.
Your only alternative is certain areas, I think, because people just aren't going to watch a game, pay attention, whatever it might be. I mean, I think if this lady had any idea what was going on, you put your hands up.
Well, no, one of the really bad ones, though, it's a broken bat on a base hit. She's watching the ball go up the middle.
Nah.
And she goes, what am I supposed to do? She's like, I'm watching the ball. And then the broken bat comes in and hits her in the head, and now she's got a metal plate in her jaw.
Yeah, your only alternative is get nets up.
I
really do.
My take on this, and I've said it before, is let's make this change before something really tragic happens.
Yeah. And
let's not wait for that.
And there's all kinds of different net. I mean, if we're trying to do a bat.
Sure.
Yeah, that's different than, little tight little squares where you can't even see the ball game.
Yeah, no,
you can make it a little bit bigger, tight net.
All right, that's the Cholula hot seat for today. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll wrap up this Monday Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, wrapping things up with Randy Jones, just 15 minutes away from first pitch in Atlanta. It's the first of four between the Padres and the Braves. Shelby Miller will toss for the Braves. Ian Kennedy will go for the San Diego Padres. This is a big series, right? You're feeling good about yourselves right now as the Padres, four games against, you know, an opponent that is tough but beatable, and then that's what sets up a big showdown for the Dodgers here this weekend at Petco.
Yeah, a lot of momentum going into the weekend and in Oakland right after that before they go back on the road, a lot of road games. But, you know, once again, an advantage, you got to stay at 500 or above, a little bit of 500 on the road. So Atlanta's a good call. They need to play well here.
There you go. Play well here. Hey, you'll see Cameron Maybin. You'll see Jace Peterson. Lots of old friends for both of these teams here in this series. Enjoy the game. We'll be back tomorrow at 3. Dick and Mudd and Chris and Pomerantz, the whole crew, they're coming up next to get you ready for baseball. Enjoy the game, everybody.